There's a lot of tremendous stuff happening at Antioch West, and I'm very privileged to be somehow linked to what's going on, even though we may live quite a ways from here. But very excited about what I hear. Very excited about the vision. I feel connected in a lot of ways, and probably the primary way is that the vision of Antioch West is just falls perfectly in line with what I've believed and taught and preached and implemented in our work in Africa, in helping local church leaders to realize their very best and to work with God in the fullest capacity possible. And when we talk about vision, it always interests me because everything, in my view, everything that contributes to local church growth, even small group growth, is connected and stems from the vision of the local church. So what I'd like to talk about in this lesson is the aspect of the continuity of the vision. And what I mean by that is the way that it's transmitted from one level of leadership to another. Simply put, I suppose, I mean, the three principal layers of this of authority regarding the vision in a local church would be at the senior local church administration, so the pastor and his senior staff. And then obviously the next ingredient is leaders, for example, of your small groups. So the continuity of the vision passing from the senior leadership to the leadership of the small groups. And then the third level would be to the members of those small groups. And after all, a lot of those members are ultimately and potentially going to become leaders themselves. So in the transition of the vision, in the exploration of the vision and the accomplishment of the vision's objectives, there's got to be a continuity from the very top down through every level of the church administration. So that's what I want to talk about. If I haven't totally confused the listener so far, we'll do my best to do it as we go on here. It's basically the continuity, ensuring that the vision is continually transmitted to every level is a primary responsibility of every leader in the kingdom of God. Now, let's face it, real vision usually comes from above and is passed below. That's normally the way it happens. God speaks to leaders. He leads the leaders. He directs them in the work of God. He inspires them and counsels with them. They seek Him regularly, and He answers. They are anointed by Him for the task of the vision, and it's carried out like that way. So, however, if it doesn't happen from this top down, it kind of gets, there's some confusion that results as that. Let me give you an example. Junior leaders, if the vision isn't passed down from above, then junior leaders cannot effectively carry out responsibilities when they don't understand those responsibilities. Now, let me bring up a passage of Scripture that everybody knows to a certain degree. It's kind of interesting when you quiz people on the spot, get to do a pop quiz with listeners, but ask them to complete this verse. And you start by saying this, where there is no vision, and everybody will say, the people perish. And then you say, well, go on. Go on, there's more to the verse. And it's kind of a rare Christian that can fill the rest of the verse 18 of Proverbs 29. But here's what it says. Where there's no vision, the people perish. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think in the original Hebrew, perish is equivalent to where there's no vision, the people are found naked. Doesn't mean literally, but it means that figuratively they are stripped and they are embarrassed and ashamed. So where there's no vision, the people perish. And then it goes on and says, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Now the question that pops out of that verse to me, at least the end of it, is, what do we mean? I mean, happy is he that keeps the law, because we know that really, I mean, in reality, nobody was able to keep every point of the law except the Lord himself who wrote the law. The author of the law was the only one that could fulfill the law the way he did. So everybody has transgressed the law in some point. And the same law said that if we're guilty in one, we're guilty of all. So what could the writer mean when he says, but he that keeps the law, happy is he? Well, go to the next verse. And Proverbs 29:19 says, a servant will not be corrected by words. This is interesting. A servant will not be corrected by words, because for though he understands what the master is telling him, in other words, he can hear what the master is telling him, he will not answer. And it's not that he will not answer, it's that he cannot answer. Here's the key. When the master of the household, in this case, of Proverbs 29, gives a command to his servant, if it's not clearly spelled out what the objective is, if there's no clear vision of the task, then there's no way that the servant can carry it out. He'll try his level best. He won't argue with the master. He'll act as though he understands, even though he doesn't, because who dares question the master? It's like asking someone to build a wall, to get some stones and to get some mortar and build a stone wall. So the master tells the worker, I want you to build a stone wall. I'll be back in 7 days and check on your progress. And then he jumps in his vehicle and he drives off, and the worker gets the stones and the mortar, digs a foundation and lays a footing and starts building stones meticulously, building this wall. The master comes back after several days and just rails on the servant because it's not the wall that he wanted built. It's not high enough, or it's not low enough, it's not long enough, it's not wide enough, it's going in the wrong direction. So he berates the worker very humbly says, sorry, master, give me another chance, I'll do better. The guy drives off, comes back again, and sure enough, the wall is not built the way he originally wanted it. Why? Because it was never conveyed. So that's the problem. If there's no vision from above, there's no way that junior leaders or people aspiring to carry out God's mission can effectively carry it out if they don't know what to do. So the more clearly we cast the vision, then the more clearly they can obey the vision, become part of the vision, and be fruitful in the kingdom of God. And when there's no vision coming down from above, junior leaders almost invariably will provide their own vision. Why? Because they want to do something. They'll build that wall. They'll get the stones. They'll get the mortar, and they'll start building the wall, but it won't be the one that God wanted built. Now, when junior leaders start building things that are not what the senior leaders want, then the senior leaders will suspect the junior leaders of being rebellious. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this thing? Why, this is not what I wanted you to do. So it leads to all kinds of confusion. The problem when senior leaders don't understand the vision is they can't make sure that there won't be any continuity of the vision downward. It means that they can't understand the principles, the senior leaders in this case can't understand the principles involved in growing a church. And when they don't understand those, then they can't grow a healthy church themselves. The negative model of the way that things should not be done becomes the result. In other words, what we see and what the congregants see and what all the members, all the future leaders, all the potential leaders, all the existing leaders, what they see is a negative model. In front of them constantly is this example of the way it should not be done. And junior leaders consequently give little attention to senior leaders who can't demonstrate the vision in action. In other words, I mean, let's simplify this. Everything breaks down. Ultimately, what happens is some form of leadership will substitute programs for real ministry. In other words, we'll do this because we don't know what else to do. We'll do this because everybody else around us is doing these kind of things. Those are programs and not spiritual ministry. This isn't ministry that's directed and inspired and empowered by God. It's just copying what somebody else does because it keeps us busy. The problem with programs in lieu of ministry, another problem of that condition is that people become what I call self-anointed, because real anointing is kept for genuine ministry. Anointing throughout the scripture is always directed for service and genuine spiritual ministry. So what that tells me is that when somebody is doing something in the name of God, in the name of the church, in the name of ministry, and yet it's not really empowered by Him, and it's not in line with His vision, then this thing that looks like anointing is actually self-anointing. And that's a dangerous place to be. So the insurance of continuing the vision from one level to another is absolutely imperative in a growing church. And in your small group, it is imperative that you take the vision that Antioch West has and is conveying to you through teaching, through example, through mentoring. You take that and you convey that to the members of your small group as well. Because what you're doing is training and equipping leaders of the future. It's almost as if this the continuity of the vision becomes a policy, and don't take that word negatively, but it may even be an unwritten policy. It may just be spoken. It may simply be articulated and taught in everything that we do. It may be done by example, but it becomes a policy by which senior leaders are clearly mandated to provide and maintain this common vision that everybody will buy into. I think we need to remember that, you know, there are three elemental parts of a true God-given vision for a church. And those are, this is where we're going. This is where this church is headed. This is what this church is called to do. And I think you know what that is. The second part is, this is the way, these are the means by which we will reach that objective. We're going to do it by equipping saints. We're going to do that by exploiting ministries. We're going to find gifts and talents and use them to their maximum benefit in the kingdom. And the third thing is the most challenging, and that is to the senior leaders ensure that a pastor of a local church ensures that every member of the church is able to find his or her respective part in taking the church to the accomplishment of that vision. We've got to bring to task those in leadership who don't receive, share, or communicate the common vision of the church. We've got to find out why they're unable to do that. If they don't receive the vision, obviously they can't maintain the continuity of the vision. They can't pass it on. They can't share it. Or maybe they're just failing to communicate it. Maybe they're failing to demonstrate it in action. But we've got to bring them to task. We've got to hold people accountable for this, because everything stems from this vision of Antioch West. We've got to demonstrate to the membership that there's a dedication of senior levels of leadership to the vision and its successful implementation. Application of the vision becomes the language of senior leaders. You can hear it. You can hear them articulate this vision in everything that they say. Somehow, everything that they say and do, everything that they strategize and plan together, the communication that they give to small group leaders, for example, and to the general membership of the church, everything is in the language of the vision of the church, because every ministry, every effort, every part of the structure of the church is based upon the vision of the church. So the application of the vision is evident in the administration of the work. It's evident in the assignment of leadership responsibilities. In other words, people will be moved into places of leadership because there are these needs of ministry according to the vision of the church. The application of the vision is included in the accountability structure of the organization as well. And this language, everything that's done in the language of the vision, is heard by lower levels of leadership as it's used in administration and training and public meetings, etc. The language helps define the nature of the work and the leaders who are required for the ministries of the church. So in other words, this language becomes an ongoing statement and defines what is encouraged and also delineates what cannot be tolerated. Leaders recognize when an understanding of vision and its concepts begins to appear at the next level. So we should expect, as small group leaders, for example, we should expect to recognize when the conveyance, when the continuity of this vision reaches the people in our respective groups. They begin to see it and understand it, and they start to buy into it, and the vision becomes part of their Christian experience and their walk with God. Now, when we see it happen, one of the most important things by which we can respond to this is we make a public recognition of this as it occurs. Feel free to congratulate people as they are beginning to live according to the vision. You know, it's one thing to hear the vision, and that's good. That's where we start. It's very good. It's a better step when people begin to understand the vision. They can really articulate the vision. They can describe it. They can see how it functions dynamically. But a clear evidence of great future success is when people begin to live the vision. And I think small group leaders should be looking for this constantly in the members of their group, when they begin to live the vision that God has given for their congregation. I think we should congratulate other leaders as well, as it's seen in their lives and ministries. Now, last night I had the privilege of talking to small group leaders and their spouses in a meeting, and I was congratulating them from the beginning, and I did it all the way to the end, because what I said over and over is that this is one of the greatest groups you can ever be a part of. It's just an honor and a privilege to have this as a spiritual responsibility and a spiritual ministry. To be able to lead a group of Christians forward in their individual walks with God, and the group forward as a corporate body and a member of a bigger body in the local church, that's a tremendous privilege. And I think they need to see themselves as a kind of a brotherhood in a special way, and be able to congratulate each other as they see each other grow in their lives and in their ministries. I think small group leaders and senior leaders should look for this continuity of the vision to happen in the lives of key influencers in the church. In other words, God singles out people who make themselves available for greater grace. And when those people appear, you know, when Barnabas sees something in Saul, he invests himself in Saul tremendously, because he knows that Saul will become a key influencer in the church. And he was looking for this. And Paul saw this in Timothy, and Paul saw this in Titus, and on we go. We can expect God to lead us and to show us who key influential people will be and how their potential can be a benefit to the church. I think leaders should be able to identify why it isn't happening if it's not happening. Why there's no continuity of the vision. And they need to speak up about that. They need to communicate that to their senior leaders. Why isn't it happening? And I think leaders should expect to be taught and learn how to implement strategies to remedy such cases as those. Another part of the continuity of the vision includes its expansion, because we believe that as the church grows, new people come in, new gifts and talents manifest themselves, there's potential that's being exploited in great ways, then the vision should be, it should expand. And we should be cognizant of that, and we should look for that expansion. It should expand by the growth of personnel, and therefore it should expand in leadership and new ministries. There are more resources that come in as the vision expands and the church grows, and therefore there's new opportunities. We also, however, not only just need to recognize and allow for the expansion of the vision, but we need to safeguard against the wrong kind of expansion. Expansion when the vision is expanded by the wrong people at the wrong time. When the expansion takes place outside the boundaries of biblical doctrines, it's not correct. We can't do this too fast. It shouldn't be done without limits. It shouldn't be done without follow-up. It shouldn't be done without accountability. It shouldn't be allowed to be unproductive expansion just for the name of expanding the vision. And it needs to be an integral part of the overall revival plan of the church. Bringing people on board as the vision is implemented so that they see and recognize their ownership is imperative. Bringing people on board as the vision is implemented so that they can see and recognize their own personal ownership as the church carries out the vision's goals is imperative. The continuity of the vision and its progress to the grassroots of the church demands a clear and steadfast comprehension by senior leaders. That's where it starts. That's where it should start. Every local church should have a pastor that hears from God. Every pastor needs to be dedicated to finding this God-given vision and implementing it in the local assembly. Then he begins to multiply his own personal ministry through a level of senior leadership that is buying into the same vision as he. And then those leaders train other leaders, and on we go down through small group ministry, etc., into every arm of ministry of the church. The same vision prevails. And every future ministry of the church can be traced back, its roots can be traced back to that same central common vision. When leaders in the church and the members understand it, then they can recognize it in the next level of leaders. If they don't know exactly and specifically, if they can't articulate what the vision is clearly, then it's hard for them to recognize it in the next level, and therefore it's hard for them to communicate that to their seniors. But when they understand it, they can urge junior leaders to take the next step of faith and commitment. They can show them opportunities that are opening for them according to that vision. And when they understand it, they can unabashedly encourage other leaders to follow them as they follow Christ. Wow. Nothing greater than a God-given vision. But let's contrast Proverbs 29, 18 and 19 with what Jesus tells his disciples in John 15 and verse number 15. Here's what he said. From now on, or henceforth, I call you not servants. Why? Because a servant doesn't hear correctly what the master is telling him. He says, I call you not servants, because the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. I have called you, past tense. In other words, this is ordained. This is the way it's supposed to be in my church. I've called you friends, because all things that I've heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. To me, that's continuity of a God-given vision. God bless you.